So much so, one day, he broke his wrist. So, I have no intention of with a wobbly, wobbly pulpit. All right, who's excited about Jesus?
Amen.
Let's try again. Who's excited about Jesus? You know, I like that bit. Where is he? I like that bit, that sudden calling away. I thought, it could happen today. Coming in, my wife and I were praying, and I was reminded of a scripture. It's from Acts chapter 10. And it says, and while Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell. And that would be my prayer today, if anything, that the Holy Spirit will just fall on each one. That we won't do church, that we won't go through the motions. That the Holy Spirit will just come in power. So, Father, we do pray today that you who know every heart, every hope, every hurt, every desire, every disappointment, every depression, you are God. And you come among us and you change us and you transform us. And you touch the very thing that we are and make us new. And for that, we bless you. For that, we praise you. Holy Spirit, come. And we'll give Jesus all the glory and all the praise. And the people of God say, amen. Amen. If you will, turn with me to Ezekiel 47. Those of you who know your Bible know this story. Ezekiel 47. And this has come about today because last week I was asked to preach in our home church about planted in the house of the Lord, flourish in the courts of our God. And very loosely I just come to this scripture, and I thought, as I came to it, I thought, I'll preach that when I go to Andrew. So there you go. I just felt quickened of God. So for time's sake, what we'll do is we'll read through it as we go along. Probably the easiest way would be to read it all. Let me challenge you when you get home. Read the first 12 verses. All right? That's the vision of the river and so on and so forth. And see what you get out of it, because I feel like a child in a sweet shop, really. There's just, I do. It is so rich that you could spend forever just preaching it. So, I've got a bit of paper that I don't want to play. I can do it now. Bernie's here. Psalm 46, verse 4 says this. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Whose streams, whose rivulets, tributaries, or channels, depending on which translation you want to read. So, yeah. But what does it do? It makes people glad. Now, you see, those of you who know me will expect me now to tell you off, because I hate going to church where people have got a face like a wet weekend. You know, they're supposed to be saved. Yes, we have problems. Yes, we have issues. Yes, we have things going on in our life. Yes, we may even have failed. But we are saved. But we are going to heaven. But our sins are forgiven. But the Holy Ghost lives in us. So I don't understand. Well, seriously? How come early Christians could sing hymns being eaten by lions? Oh, look, it's wet outside. I'll go give up. You know, there's a bit of a difference somewhere along the line. A dichotomy. Do you like that word? First time I heard Gerald Coates say that, I thought, because I'm not the sharpest of persons. I heard him say, I thought, I've never heard that word before. Anyway. There's a stream. He makes, listen to this. I looked it up. You don't want the, well, you can have if you want. Shamich is the, Samich actually is the Hebrew, and it means, there's a word you don't hear very often, blithe, gleeful, joyful, merry, rejoice. There is a river that's flowing through this house. Because if it don't flow in this house, as we read on, how can it flow out? So this has got a double application to us as a congregation, to us as individuals. It flows in, it flows out. And the whole idea is it flows in and makes us glad. It flows out and makes others glad. Yeah. Blithe, gleeful, joyful, rejoicing as it touches them. There is a river whose streams, tributaries, channels, rivulets. I like that idea because the old idea is there's this river and a little man comes down to the river and he digs a little channel and starts taking some off to his farm. Personal. There is a river. We need to be getting our portion of it. Because what happens then, he comes into his land, his area, and he plants trees either side. So this river now is flowing through, but he is getting benefits, as are others. I'm preaching better than you're getting happy. So, there we go. Listen to this. That's why Isaiah 12 and 3 says, therefore with joy shall ye draw from the wells of salvation, and in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Therefore with joy. Oh, it's deep joy, brother. It's a deep well. Oh, brother. With joy. Do you know, the Bible says, laughter doeth good like a medicine. And I always say to people, if you get nothing out of the preaching, you will walk out of here healthier than when you come in. Because you'll be merry. There's joy in the house of the Lord. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. For there is a river that makes streams make glad the city of God, the dwelling place of our God. Now we get to Psalm 47. Psalm 47, we start at verse 1, do we not? We do. Ezekiel, pardon me. You knew that was just a test. Thank you. I'm glad to see you paying attention. Ezekiel 47 and verse 1. Uno. Ready? Now, this is I've got a really nice definition. A visionary form of a revelation. Come on. He's showing him in picture form some truth that needs to be revealed. That's why we talk about dreams and visions. Both of those are revelationary truths that come in picture form. Always be careful though with pictures, because I think sometimes I see a fish coming out of an envelope, and in its mouth it's got two tulips, one pink, one orange. What's the translation? Well, the translation is you had too much curry last night. Yeah? But when God wants to reveal something, he's well able, all right? So Ezekiel is a prophetic statement. God's showing something of his heart and mind through a visionary picture. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. And from the front of the temple, it faced east. And the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. I'm not getting into all of it too much, other than to say this. There is a river that's flowing out of the house of God. God's intention, clearly. Oh, we all want revival. God wants to do something through the church that touches the nation. We all want to see a soul saved. Go on, God, you do it. No, there's a river that's flowing through the church, through you and I, out into the world. And that, sorry, you are involved in this. Because we are, how often we want to work it off on the devil? Now, the reason it's not happening is the devil. Or the other one is, oh God, you do it. But somewhere in the middle is you and I. And God uses human vessels, vehicles. Good. All right. It follows that, listen to this. Do you not know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you, flows out of the temple into the world? But just so you don't get, so you don't think it's just you, it's also a collective thing, isn't it? It's a house thing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, is that right? Verse 5 and 6. You also, as living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a temple, a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And the Spirit wants to flow out of here. Well, you always start getting excited now, because he wants to do something in here, and then it will flow out of here. He wants to do something in here, and it will flow out of here. Is it hot? All right, here we go. So there he takes me out. He brought me out by the way of the north gate, and he led me around on the outside of the outer gateway, facing the east, so on and so forth. Verse 3. And a man. Now, those of you who really wanted to get into this, I'll give you a whole lot of references. So if you want the man, you do well to go over into chapter 40, and I think it's around about verse 3, and it talks about this angel being. This angel being turns up, and it says, he takes me out. Read on. It's easier for me to read it from the text. Went out east, and the line was in his hands, and he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the water, and the water came up to my ankles, yeah? 1,000 cubits. Come on. 2,083 feet and 4 inches. For those of you who like it, if you want to go metric, work that out. 2,084 feet. 2,084 feet and 4 inches, if I remember rightly. 20834. Dake's Annotated Reference Bible. I always thought that was a cubit. It must be the line measuring one. Look it up in Dake's Annotated Reference Bible. Anyway, you multiply it by 3, and you end up with just over a mile. Yeah. So you're going to, this river is, he's going to go out at least a mile, but this river is so wide you can't even get across it. Look it up in I got it from 8 Dakes, that's where I nicked it from. So let's not get stuck on that. But anyway, this angel being leads him out. Or, it could even be better, the Holy Spirit. If you want a person, leads us out further, deeper. Someone say deeper. Deeper. Because wherever we are now, there are deeper depths. So if you think you've arrived, I'm going to upset you today and say there's more of God for you. Right. And the thing is, he takes him ankle deep. Now, who loves splashing? I still do. I must admit. And I want to tell you something. There's people in their Christian life still splashing. Content. Nothing wrong with it. You know, it's refreshing. It's nice. Better than where I was. They get stuck at ankle deep. They get stuck splashing. And I think if you're not careful, you see, the whole idea of this angelic being or the Holy Spirit, which says this, the sons of God are what? Led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8. But God is not finished with us, and he wants to take us further. Jesus put it like this, John 16 and 13. When he has come, he will take that. He will lead you into all truth. Who's got all truth? None of us yet. But the Holy Spirit wants to take us further and show us more and reveal deeper depths to us and wider vistas. There's a word for you. Allow bigger landscapes. So if you think you've arrived, if you're content to be happy, splashing around, I want to say to you, good, but A, you're not fulfilling your function, and B, there's more in God. It's a good place. I like it. Yeah. My poor wife, sometimes I'm walking along, I've got a twisted head really. I walk along and I see something, or a smell. I'm in the bush. I've got to know where it's coming from. Sorry about that. That explains a lot, doesn't it? But if you are settled, I've come to upset you. Because I don't think that's where God wants us to be. As a church, there's lots of churches still splashing around. Content just to... Well, I'm in the river. I'm getting wet. Yeah, you are wet, really. So he takes him to this place, content to paddle. But he wants to take him on to another level. Now, I'm going to tell you something which is kind of easy to remember. Different levels, different devils. And as always, we have to fight ourselves. It always starts with me. See, I've come to a place, and maybe you've really had to fight to get to the paddling place, you know? And now the Spirit of God comes along and says, I want to take you deeper. For Nigel's sake, I want to take you another 2,083 feet and 4 inches. And sure, that's where the resistance starts. It starts with us. As churches, yeah, that's fanaticism, that's craziness. That's... With us as individuals, we start digging our heels in. But the Spirit of God wants to, the word today surely is change. Because there's so much more he wants to do with us. There's so much more for us to experience in God. So he goes off and he measures another 1,000 cubits. And the water comes now up to the knees. You reading on? Yeah? Now I did think about that. So what does that speak of, the knees? Well, I'm going to say to you, it speaks of a number of things. Firstly, it speaks of our walk. So you have to... Your knees speak of your walk. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ, walk in him. I like that. It's kind of... That you can preach that all of itself. Walk in him. What about this one? Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Everyone knows it. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who be in Christ Jesus. Always forget the end of the verse. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what God could not do through the law, he did by his own Son, send him in the likeness of sin. It goes on. But do not, there's no condemnation. Praise God. Oh, walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, is it? Verse 6 or 6? Yeah, I've got it all written down anyway. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I've got a few more for you. What about this one? Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Walk in newness of life. We're changed. All right, good. Old kind of African-American sort of song. I know I've been changed, for the angels in heaven just sign my name. I've been changed. I'm not what I was. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. Behold. Oh, the old has passed away. The new has come. One day. The new has come. We are saved. We are different people. We walk in newness of life. And for those of you who really want a bit more of this, Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Sometimes you have to cut some friends away, cut some family away, cut away some things that are around you, because they will counsel you, and before you know where you are, you will start walking. I did this. If you read it, it goes, does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Does not stand in the way of sinners. Does not sit in the seat of the scornful. The progression of backsliding. Bad company leads you to sin, and before you know where you are, you're scornful. But we ain't got time for that. That's first Psalm 1, verse 1. You need to be careful who you listen to. In fact, Jesus said like this. He said, be careful what you hear. But he also said, be careful how you hear. Where's it coming from? Who's saying it? But that's not for today. Oh, that's good. What else do you need to speak of? Come on, you're clever people. Prayer. So you've got saved now. And God now wants to take you to another level. What is that other level? He wants us to learn to pray. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm with the disciples. Lord, teach me to pray. Wherever you are in your prayer life, and I thank God there's some people in here probably pray considerably more than me and a lot better at it than me. But each one of us can go deeper in prayer. What else do your knees speak of? Also speaks of submission. And that, go down on your knees. Can I give you another word? Obedience. It's a progression. We've got saved. We're enjoying being saved. But God wants to take us further. He wants to take us to prayer. He wants to take us to obedience. 1 Samuel 15. To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed is better than the fat of rams. God's looking for obedience. Now, I don't want to upset anybody today. And I know you're all kind of just walking a sanctified life. But could I say maybe we could learn to walk a bit closer? Be a bit more obedient? Giving heed to his word? And what else? So now, it's good, isn't it? We're talking about our walk. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about obedience. Let me give you another one. Which is worship. Wherever you are in worship, I want to say to you there's another place. A place where you don't even say anything. A place where you don't have to sing, shout, run, jump, roll. I'm for all of that. There's another place where you are God. And I want to say God wants to take us deeper. In our worship. And I can give that to you. Come, let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Psalm 95 and 6. So, now you're in the river, aren't you? Oh, the river of God will set your feet to dancing. You're there, your ankles. Yo, I don't want to be just a paddler. I want to move on to the next level. Oh, God, thank you. So you're praying, and you're trying to be obedient. And your worship's improving, and your walk's getting a bit closer. And then this guy goes and measures another 2,083 feet and 4 inches. and it comes up to your waist. Now, good job we're an adult audience, because waist always talks of reproduction. Because now you start thinking about others. You start thinking about evangelism. You start speaking about discipleship. You start thinking about revival. You start thinking about how horrible hell is and how wonderful heaven is. And now you don't want people to go to hell. So you want to tell them about Jesus. You want to bring us to a new level where we are not content. I'm saved. Isn't it lovely? William Booth said, some people want to live in the sound of chapel bells, but I want to run a rescue shop in the gate of hell. Surely each one of us. Jesus left the 99, did he not? For the one. So I do believe this progression, Pastor, for us as a church, for us as an individual. It says, stop splashing around, grow up. And if you wanted some scripture for it, I can give you end of Hebrews chapter 5, where it says, let us leave the baby stuff and let us go on to maturity. Let us grow up. So now here we are, we've stopped splashing around, and our prayer life and our sanctification, our holiness, our separateness, our obedience, our worship, are taking on new depths. And then out of that, surely we start seeing the need of others. Because it's no good, oh, bless me, God. If it don't, then what you said at the very beginning. Church, we are blessed to be a blessing. Why does God bless me? God, our God, he blesses us. Yes, he blesses us. Why? That all the ends of the earth might fear him. There we are. So now we're thinking about others. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. But how shall they hear? How shall they call on him of whom they've not heard or believed? And how shall they believe unless... How can they believe unless they are told? But I'm going to take you to this next level, and this is the one that God's really provoking in me. I don't swim. That's a confession, I'm sorry. I'm always envious of yous lot who do. I'm also annoyed with yous lot who do and don't. You know, it's too cold, too, isn't it? I always watch it, I think, oh, if only. But anyway, I'm too old now to worry about it, by the way. But because I'm 6 foot, whatever I used to be, 6'2", but now it's probably 6'1", 6.5. You know, the bottom of a swimming pool, it used to be about 6'6", didn't it, or whatever. So if I bob, I can sort of get all the benefits, but not actually enjoy it. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? It's possible, I've had splashes, to be a bobber. To do enough. But how does it finish? So he took me out another 1,000 cubits. You're in round about verse 7? No, I lied. 5. And he measured 1,000 and it was a river that could not be crossed, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim. And a river that could not be crossed. Ready? This is the challenge for you and I. We don't like to feel out of our depth. We like to be able to feel the bottom. And that's true in our spiritual life as it is in our physical life. That, you know, we're ordered, we're measured, we're discipled, we're disciplined, we're all of those things. And we can be bubbers, can't we? We can be just, oh, I wonder. You ever seen a kid at the edge of a swimming pool? I love them. They stand there, and there they've got this great debate going on. And their foot goes forward, and then they sort of shove. Until eventually they think, in we go. And that's what I believe the Spirit of God is saying to you and I today and to this congregation. There is more for us. There is a river for us to swim in. Now God, and that's a life in the Spirit, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit which has gone, done all of this. But wherever we are, I want to say to you today, God wants to take us further. And he wants to take us deeper. And he wants us to move from ankles, knees, waist. You knew what I was thinking. So we come to a place where we just turn around and say, God, I let go. I surrender all, but I'm holding on to the side. Where are we? I'm really, this is for me, because I'm like that. I'm right on the edge, really. I think, and I can see, I can feel that it just falls straight away. And I think that's what I don't like. I like that steady, but I think there's got to come that place where I'm out of my depth, where I haven't got my foot in no more, and I just say, well, all right, God, whatever you want. Can I finish this for you? Because it is, as I say, take it home and finish it. But, ready? And this is a nice bit. Well, ugly bit before we get to the nice bit. Reads on and says, wherever the river didn't go, the swamps and the marshes. Swamps and marshes, what causes them is usually congestion, that the river can't get in there comfortably. So they might get a measure occasionally, but they can't get the full flow. So how do they end up? Stagnant and stinking. Now, not in this church, but let me tell you, I have met over the years various people, and you think, and wherever the river doesn't go, swamps and marshes, stagnant and stinking. I don't want to be one of them. I don't want to be just content with what I've got. Or the hindrances in my life that stop the river flowing in. Then it goes on to say, and you're in around about verse 11 and 12, I think. Well, 7 is where the river was. 11 is the swamps. Verse 12. And along the banks, on the banks of the river, either side were trees. And it says, and these trees bear fruit in their season, always fresh. For those of you like that, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, now the fruit of the Spirit, just go by and pick one of those fruits. And it says, and the leaf does not wither. Why? Because it's evergreen. It's always in season. But the last thing I like as well is that it's leaves you would take for medicine. And if you look in the margin, same Hebrew word for healing. I want to say to you, there is a river that's flowing through the house, this house. Thank God for this congregation. And I want to say to you, God has not finished with you. But he sent me to tell you this today, that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And I believe God today is inviting us individually and collectively. Can you stand up? Those of you who can, those of you who can't, well, that's, you know, stand up in your heart. Now, let me just tell you something. You cannot say no, Lord. The moment you say no, he is no longer Lord. But you can say yes, Lord, which is kind of wonderful, really. So I believe today, wherever you are, God has sent me with a word. Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. I think God has sent me with a word today. In my spirit, I've been longing to get here and to share this with you. An invitation from the very throne of God. The paddlers, it's time to leave your paddling. It's all very nice. It's all very lovely. And you can find a measure of refreshing in it and joy. But God's saying there's more. I want you to step into this next dimension. I want your walk to start changing. I want your prayer life to start changing. I want to see a deeper obedience and a deeper reverence and worship. And if you're there, because I think we run back all the time, the next one, I want you to be concerned for the lost. God, speak to my heart again where I've become selfish and indifferent and it's all about me. I want to give myself away again for those that know you, need to know you. And then for the next lot, you see, I don't think the Spirit of God ever says, you got to. Yeah, you're going to be standing here today and all of a sudden, oh, I'm off in the river. I think God wants you to step into. It's a willingness. If you're willing and obedient, Isaiah 1:19, you will live on the good of the land. So right where you are, this is the challenge with no one watching you or anything else. I want you to take a step, big step. Take a little one if you want, a cautious one, or a big one. And just say, God, see my step. I am willing to change. See, it's not profound or anything like that. See, God takes moments like this, and then grace comes. And starts that work. And before we know where we are, we're changed. Are you ready? Father, I've come with a word that you've given to me to speak to this great congregation, these wonderful people. A word of challenge. That where we've grown content to splash around, you want us to go deeper. Wherever we are in our prayer life, in our holiness, in our worship, in our walk, you want us to go deeper. Father, wherever we are with the lost, the multitude that are on their way to hell, you want us to go deeper. And where we have this, where we need to feel the ground under our feet, where we have drawn the barriers, where we have said that far and no further. Father, we want to go further. So where you are today, I challenge you now in the presence of God and before he's, take a step and just tell him for yourself. No, and then just tell him for yourself, Lord, this is my desire. This is my hope. This is my, I want to move with you. I want to be in the flow. I want to be in the river. I want to just go where you want to go. Come on, just today, where you are, in the reality of the moment, you speak to God for yourself. You do business with God. Halabashoy. Yeah, right where you are. Maybe it's the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Maybe you've drawn boundaries there. Maybe you've said, I'm not going to go into that. Then that, I believe God will speak to you today and say, you know, there's more for you. Maybe it's that healing thing that you don't, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, maybe God's saying, try to touch me in these things. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but God has sent me today to say there's more There is more. There are different levels, deeper places to go in God. Hallelujah. Till we come to a place where we can't even feel the bottom. We just have to say, have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. Do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. And the saints of God say, amen. Now let me tell you why I've preached this today. One of it. What a title. Who knows Anne? 80, what's she now? 85, 86? 90. So she came to Uganda with us at 85 or something. So yeah, you don't cart many 85-year-old women around Africa, do you? But she, up for it, good to go. And we was talking to her, and she said, in an Anne sort of way, those of you know, she's rather nice. She said, the Lord told me, go with the flow. And I'm here today to tell you that the Lord tells you, go with the flow. And you'll be surprised where he takes you. Amen.
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 Thank you.